Well, praise the Lord. We just started the audio and let's see. We just started the video and we're in business. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. That was actually good, you know? I can't wait to blow that trumpet in the forest. That's going to sound great.
Maybe
the animals. All the animals. Probably be attacked by all the animals. Well, we are one of Messiah congregation. We are Kahal HaBe Mashiach in Hebrew, part of the little Adat Yisrael. We're just a little piece of the Israel of God around the world. You know, we never say we're the only congregation. We're just a little piece of the Israel. And happy Feast of Unleavened Bread. I hope you had some unleavened bread today. I had already, and I even brought a little piece, an extra piece. And make sure you eat your unleavened bread. And we're doing this in memorials, Hag HaMatzot, you know. So it's today's a Sabbath. It's beautiful today in Tennessee. It's going to be like 75. And this is God's time, and it's a Sabbath. So let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this reading today. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, Creator of all things, we come to you first as kings and priests to ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, any wrinkle, anything that would separate us from you, Father. Bless and anoint this Sabbath today. Father, give us the joy and the peace and the happiness. Put a wall of fire around and about us. Caution us from any evil. Bless the study. Make it fruitful. Spiritually help us. Let us grow in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the fear of God. Heavenly Father, give us discernment and reading comprehension above everything it seems like we need. Bless and anoint this day. Heal everyone that's in the body of Messiah. Touch and heal everyone. In your name, Father, and give us shalom and peace on your holy day. I pray for understanding in many matters and discernment and decisions that we make. And we just always ask you first before we even do anything. Bless and anoint this day in Yeshua's name. And I thank God for everyone here and everyone on the internet and everyone that will hear this message in the future from our servers. We praise and thank you and give you the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. God bless you. Amen. Well, my ministry is a teaching ministry to bring up topics in the Bible that have never been discussed or mentioned in your life. That's quite a sentence. And it's really true because, you know, today's a beautiful day and everything looks like it's just going normal, isn't it? But once you step out these doors, there's no more Sabbath. There's no more Feast of Unleavened Bread. Everything of God is erased. There's no more calendar of God. It's just a nice day. Isn't that weird? It's tricky. So these things have been deleted from your knowledge. You haven't even a clue. They are missing if you don't read the Bible. I'm trying to undelete them for you. You know, that's what I try to do. For your conveniences, because you're plural, my server's still running back there, thank God. You know, we forget about it, but it's running 24/7 like a faithful little robot. And it's going on and on and on. I have all these servers running back there. So you could read the text. You could listen to the audio, you could watch the video, you can even download it to your MP3 players. So you can't ever say you missed my studies in the last 12, 13 years. There, some of them you might have missed because they're not online, but I mean, you know. But here they are. They're available right now. Of course, you can go in our room right now. We're streaming live on PowTalk. No, not streaming live on PowTalk. We're streaming live on, what's that called? Real Media, and you could see us right now if you go to that link, click on it. We gave everyone the IP somewhere. We're in the Christian section on PowTalk, I should say. And, of course, we still would like to come to your group or congregation, your meeting. We always like to come in that more personal matter, you know, like a more of an intimate, personal effect. So there's a link there you can click on. Today is April 19th. Isn't that amazing? And of course, we're using the Gregorian calendar from Pope Gregory. April of Aphrodite. Isn't that nice? No, but that's what it is. So anyway, that's what that's all about. You can read that later if you feel like it. Jehovah has his own calendar. We're also in the 19th day of Ha'aviv. This happens to match up, huh? There it is. So Jehovah had, it's either called Nisan or Ha'aviv is the newness of the barley harvest. Today's topic is, I just want to do a little reminder of, I guess, tomorrow. It's a reminder of the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah. That's tomorrow. The first day of the week called Sunday. It's not Easter. Bunnies, colored eggs, egg hunts, or whatever. And I, unfortunately, even driving here this morning, I see the signs up, Easter egg hunts, and they got it right in my neighborhood, and other churches are posting it. And I just don't understand. With the advent of the internet, you could look up the origin of Easter, and you could type it right in there, and you can get the origin. Do you really want to tell your children this stuff? No, I don't. Sounds like pagan Christmas, too. This sounds exactly like Christmas. Some people actually say Easter, the Easter Bunny, is an egg-laying rabbit who sneaks into homes the night before Easter to deliver baskets full of colored eggs, toys, and chocolates, which is a lie. They actually tell that to the kids. It's just for the children. Yeah, it's a lie. Notice, in a lot of these signs and circulars that are passed around through the mail and everything, there's no mention of the resurrection of the Messiah. That's gone. Many pagan cultures, they held spring festivals to celebrate the renewal of life and promote fertility at this time of the year. One of these festivals was in honor of Astarte, you know, that's, you could say it a couple of different ways, the goddess of dawn, spring and fertility. These pagan festivals were dear to the hearts of the pagans in Northern Europe, and of course it came to America. Astarte was closely linked to rabbit, to the rabbit and the egg, both symbols of fertility. By the way, rabbits don't lay eggs in reality, but they somehow got everyone thinking that rabbits and eggs go together. That's called marketing, boy. Satan really marketed that. You know, they have the rabbit and the eggs in the basket. Rabbits don't lay eggs. It's ridiculous. Anyway, today we're going to just do a little talk about the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah. It's not going to be a long study. Some people might ask, is Yeshua the Messiah alive today? Some people wonder, where in the world is he? I don't see him. You know, where's he at? Well, God is invisible, right? God's a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, right? Beyond a doubt, this is the most important question in the world to teach man, woman, and child in the world today. Actually, for that matter, every person who has ever lived or ever will be born. On this issue of whether or not the Messiah was raised from the dead involves the truth or falsity of what we believe, as well as mankind's hope of a future life with God in eternity. In other words, without the resurrection of the Messiah, your faith is vain. We're still in sin, and there's no life, there's no hope, according to Apostle Paul, too. He says that to the Corinthians. This is why it's so important to know the Word of God, so you can point out all the witnesses that claim they saw his appearing the many times. So, you know, we'll read a little bit of the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's very important. Maybe later we'll read the whole chapter. Paul states, "Brethren, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you," he declared it unto them, "which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Messiah died for our sins, according to the Tanakh, the Scriptures, and was buried, and that he rose again, according to the Tanakh, the Scriptures." Okay? So you have to be able to prove Messiah and everything that he did, his whole lifestyle, where he was born, when he was going to be born, how he was going to be born, where he's going to be born, what his ministry was, his life, death, and resurrection. And that he was seen, Messiah, after he rose from the dead, it wasn't a secret. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. These are actually real witnesses. That's what we look for in forensic spiritual detectiveness. We try to look for the real witnesses that seen Messiah. So here we have Cephas and the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part at this time, you know, at that time when he was talking, some of them have, you know, fallen, they've died. Now they've all been dead, now at our time. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And Paul says, "Last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." So we got right there, there's a, you know, 500, quite a 500 and over 500 people saw him right there, right? That's a lot of witnesses. You could verify that. To know Yeshua fulfilled the Torah is vital for every believer in Messiah. Yeshua actually professes, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled." And here's the way Yeshua breaks down the Bible, which were written in the Law of Moses, the Torah, and in the Prophets, the Nevi'im, and in the Psalms, the Kutuvim. That's the rest of the Scriptures. Concerning me. So you have to be able to preach Messiah from the Tanakh. Who would the Messiah be? When should he have came? Because he can't come after certain events. He had to come at a specific time in mankind. He can't come in the future, because he had to come while the temple was still there. So it's over now. A little review of the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread and First Fruits. We just had a nice Passover, and we're still in the midst of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And tomorrow is First Fruits, because the First Fruits is always on the first day of the week, which some people for some reason hate. I don't understand that. Leviticus 23 says, "And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them concerning what? These are the feasts of Jehovah, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feasts, Moadai," you know. So these are God's feasts. They're not just random days. These are specific days to observe. And they're holy convocations, they're Mikra Kodesh, you know, they're sacred assemblies, public meetings to get together. You don't just stay home in bed. And they're also Sabbaths, where no buying and selling, no work, and everyone in your dwelling has to be keeping the Sabbath. Notice in our Sabbath, no one's watching TV, playing sport games, or doing anything. You know, we're just talking about God constantly, right? And to some people, you know, that gets a little boring. But to us, we enjoy talking about God one whole day. To us, Sabbath is a delight, like it says. You know why? Because we got 6 days to do all our work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest. It's a Shabbat Shabbaton. It's a Mikra Kodesh, a holy convocation. You should do no work. Lo, Tavodah. Therein, it's the Sabbath of Jehovah in all your dwellings. So in all your dwellings, it's the Sabbath of Jehovah. So what day was John in the Isle of Patmos? He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day right there tells you is the Sabbath of Jehovah. These are the feasts of Jehovah, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. God says the same thing in so many ways, and right in the sentences there. So does anybody not understand any of that? Do you need lexicons and dictionaries to figure that out? Do you need to go to Harvard or Princeton or Yale? No, it's right there. Or Vanderbilt Divinity School. Or you need to go to, you know, whatever school you think. And, of course, we did this. We can't understand. I mean, people can't do this. We did it on the 14th day of the first month at even is Jehovah's Passover. It's not the Feast of the Jews. It's not the Feast of Moses. These are the Feast of the God that created the whole universe. And it is New Year because it's during the first month. And it does feel like New Year. It's beautiful. And then, of course, on the 15th day, we had the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we went through that. We talked about that. That's an ordinance forever, you know. Unto Jehovah, 7 days, you must eat unleavened bread. Did you have any yesterday? You better make sure. Yep. I actually love it. I wish I could have more than unleavened bread.
Hint.
A little bread machine does great, you know, cooks that unleavened bread. The first day we did a holy convocation, we were all here. That was like a Monday night, right? All day Tuesday. On Tuesday was a Sabbath. That actually blew some people away from us. They were going to come once they found out it was, oh, we can't do that. It says you shall, we take an offering now. It says you should have an offering. They did it by fire unto Jehovah 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation too, which is going to be Sunday evening starts the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is all day Monday, right? It's amazing. So some people don't know, well, most people don't know about the seventh day Sabbath, how much more the seven Sabbaths in the Feast of God. I mean, the Seventh Day Adventists next door, they're only a couple of feet away. They still haven't joined us. There are only a couple, like, I could probably count the steps. But anyway. And it's the barley harvest, of course. Everyone should know that. Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, When you come into the land which I give unto you, you shall reap the harvest thereof. And you shall bring what? A sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. So if we were, you know, we give an offering, but this is what they used to have to actually do. It says, And you shall wave the sheaf before Jehovah to be accepted on for you when? The morrow after the Sabbath. What's the day? What's the morrow after a weekly Sabbath?
Sunday.
People don't like that. I mean, now, of course, the word Sunday comes from when they used to actually worship the sun. It was really Sunday. But, you know, but that's what everyone uses. That's what they all recognize. So we say the first day of the week. You can't say the first day of the week anymore because now they have calendars, business calendars that start on what? Monday. There's business calendars. They're trying to really... Yeah, they're confusing everything. Anyway, it says, The morrow after the Sabbath is the first day of the week, known as Sunday, and you shall, there it is, an offering that day when you wave the sheaf of the lamb without blemish. It's a lamb, too. It's not a goat. It's not anything else. It's the lamb in the first year for a burnt offering unto Jehovah. Everything's so clear to me. I mean, if you this whole concept of coming as a child comes into focus, meaning you just simply read the Bible. I mean, you just simply read it. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10. I highlighted the word offering. This way you got that, because we don't do any of these other things. It says, and the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire. We don't do any of that because we're not in the Levitical priesthood, and we don't have Levitical priests anymore and any of that stuff. By fire unto Jehovah, sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, fourth part of a hin, and ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn. That doesn't mean corn on the carb. That means it's going to be the barley, right? Right. It says, no green ear. That green ear is the ha'aviv, you know, until the self-same day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Chukat olam. Right? Ledorotechem bechal moshvotechem. Okay? So you might say, well, I don't understand that, but it's in English, it's the same thing. It's a statute throughout all your generations and all your dwellings. Moshav is your dwelling, you know? So Paul declares, Yeshua is the first fruits, right? And that's why we see the physical, actual real first fruits of barley. But then we see the spiritual. Yeshua is really the first fruits. That's what we're really talking about. And that's, Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says, But now is Messiah risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. But every man in his own order, Messiah the first fruits, after they that are Messiahs at his coming. Yeshua was the first to rise from the dead with an incorruptible body. I mean, isn't that amazing? I always think that's so incredible, because there's one God, and God spoke his word, and that word became flesh, and then that flesh took on a actual incorruptible body and now sits at the right hand of God, but there's still one God because his word and him are one. But it looks like two, doesn't it? It's really hard to understand in the physical world. Spiritual world is probably going to be, oh yeah, that's right. Spiritual world, it's a totally different way of looking and seeing and realizing everything. And sometimes we have to see this invisible God. It's important. If you think Yeshua rose on Saturday, some people think Yeshua rose on Saturday, or if you do the first fruits on Saturday, you throw off the date of the first of the Feast of Weeks, you know, the Pentecost, 50 days, and which the first day of the week, known as Sunday, and Sabbath is, as it states in Leviticus 23, we just read. So if you do one thing wrong, it's like dominoes. Everything gets wrong. And if you're following people that don't, some people go, well, where does it say in the Bible to do a leap year? Well, hello, God gave you this thing called a brain to use once in a while. And you have to understand that if you didn't do a leap year, soon you would have Passover in the winter. which that is obviously not the barley harvest in the winter. So you have to put a little common sense to it and say, oh, yeah, we have to maintain. God says he gave us the seasons and the signs and the seasons for times, years, and, you know, you have to read that in Genesis. So, but you have to use that little thing for more than a hat rack. You have to use that mind once in a while. I mean, it's simple, isn't it? It's the first day of the week. It says the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, first fruits, that's the wheat harvest. It says you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. We're going to count what? Seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Now you might go, that sounds simple. We have whole religions counting omers. And they're geniuses. I mean, it's mind staggering. They're like scholars, and they're like amazing minds doing all kinds of research and everything, and they can't get this right. They're counting the Omer. I can show you I have a calendar here. That's like Omer 1, Omer 2, Omer 3. And it starts on the wrong day too. It's like, makes you just think like, what's wrong? And then you start understanding this has nothing to do with intelligence. It's a spiritual understanding. Some people could stare at that and still don't get it because they're spiritually dead. So we're going to count seven Sabbaths to be complete. And then guess what? The morrow after the seventh Sabbath, what day is that going to be?
Sunday.
And what's seven times seven?
49.
Plus one day. Pentecost! 50. You got it. In Greek. If you want to speak Greek, we say Chag Shavuot, Feast of Weeks. So anyway, you shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of two tintiles, and they shall be of fine flour. Check this out. They shall be baked with leaven. With leaven. You know why? Because they're the first fruits unto Jehovah. This is the wheat harvest. We always forget to do that. I like to bake two little loaves with the leaven, because that means everyone's invited. And you shall offer with the bread seven lambs. You know, a lot of people always say to us, they always say, you guys do too much. You guys are just doing too much. Imagine if you lived in these days and you were the God of Israel. You have to go offer with the bread seven lambs without blemish of the first year. That means you had to do a lot of raising animals and make sure you had a lot in the first year without blemish. One young bullock, two rams shall be for a burnt offering unto Jehovah with the meat offering and their drink offerings. Even an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Jehovah. Some people think we're doing a lot. Imagine if you lived here and had to do all that physical stuff when we're understanding the spiritual significance of it now. It says, then you shall sacrifice one kid of the goats for a sin offering and two lambs for a first of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruit for a wave offering before Jehovah. With the two lambs, and they shall be holy to Jehovah for the priest. So, a lot of people go, well, you guys are just too much, man. You're overkill with all that information, you know. But just think, if you had to live back here, you know, you couldn't be. You'd be standing at attention because you know the God is there, which He is here today too. You know, people just don't get that. Except God is a spirit, remember. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it's a holy Feast of Weeks is what? It's a holy convocation, a public meeting. We're not going to do any work there. We're going to have two Sabbaths in a row. It says it's a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. So guess where we're going to be? Here. See, it's no guessing game to you guys, but other people are like, oh, I don't know the date. You know, we only said it 100 times. Lord, I mean, that might be a little bit of an exaggeration. It says, and you shall reap the harvest of your land. Thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaming of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am Jehovah your God. So if you had crops and that, you know, you'd do that, right? Probably still do that. So we're talking about the resurrection of the Messiah. We're talking about, we've already read over 500 witnesses, right? Below are some other witnesses that also prove Messiah rose from the dead. In Matthew, it says, at the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of Jehovah descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Whew. Quite an event. His countenance, this is the angel, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, I bet the keepers did shake. I bet they did. And became as dead men. I mean, if you seen that, you'd probably just faint. You wouldn't be going, oh, that's cool. You're just like, bang! You know, you just pass out. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, for I know whom you seek. You seek Yeshua, which was crucified. Guess what? He's not here. He's risen, as he said, if you only believed. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. So who was the first preachers there? The women were the first women preachers. They were all running, talking about the resurrection of... He's risen! What about that? And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. Isn't that amazing? Whew. And guess what? They just ran quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring the disciples' word. And the disciples are all in that room there, and they're all nervous because Jesus just got killed. And here comes these women saying, he's risen from the dead, preaching. He's alive. It says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Yeshua met them. Wow. Could you imagine that? No, I can't imagine that. No. Saying, all hail. And they came and, I bet they did. They held him by the feet and worshipped him. Wow. Now you only do that to God, right? That's really beautiful. Then said Yeshua unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Of course, Satan always tries to get in, of course. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests and all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, yes, they always do the same thing. They gave them large money unto the soldiers, saying, hey, say this story. Say his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. You know, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be... So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly, even today, reported among the Jews unto this day. Some people today think that Jesus... I've heard stories where they think Jesus didn't even die. He just got wounded and came down and snuck off into the distance. And then I heard this story too by Jews. Then the 11 disciples went into the Galilee, into a mountain where Yeshua had appointed them. So he told them to go to this mountain. And when they saw him, I bet they just worshipped him. But of course, there's always the people that doubt. Right? And Yeshua came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Wow. You must be God, huh? He says, but go ye therefore. And this is what we've been doing since we've been finding this out. He says, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And this is comforting right here. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So Messiah is always with us. Praise the Lord. So he is alive. And I'm sure he's really upset at everything out here. Because you look outside, you know, you see people just walking their little kids in the stroller, and the other one jogging, the other one doing a yard sale, the other one getting ready for the egg hunt tomorrow. And, you know, you see all these like things look so cute, but it's evil. Satanic, because they have they're in a delusion. We just broke out of the delusion, a lying delusion. That's a lying delusion, thinking nothing's wrong, and you just like la la la, walking through the, taking a little walk with the kid. It looks so innocent, doesn't it? They're in a delusion. Oh, some people hate that Yeshua rose on the first day of the week, boy. They can't stand it. Look what it says in Mark. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. This is the angel. You seek Yeshua of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where he lay. Okay? And then, of course, right here, straightforward. I mean, you can't misinterpret this. Yeshua did not rise on Saturday. Okay? But Sunday, the first day of the week. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And verse 9 is straightforward. You can't misinterpret this. Now, when Yeshua was risen early, the first day of the week. Can you misinterpret that?
No.
Can you say maybe it's Saturday?
No.
How about Wednesday?
No.
No, it's the first day of the week, right? Some people hate that. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom she had seven devils. She was the first woman preacher there. There it is, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning. And this all coincides with the whole story in Exodus, right? Everybody knows that. Everyone that's with us knows that. You know, them going through the Red Sea, and before they even got to the Red Sea, you know, just the whole thing. And we can go over that story later if you don't know what we're talking about. So if you don't know how to see those patterns, there's a pattern in Exodus, and then there's a pattern later on in Joshua, and there's a pattern that goes right to up to Yeshua about the end of the world. It actually starts in Genesis. If you want to know the end of the world, you have to read the beginning, right? If you want to know the end, I like knowing the end of the story. We win at the end. That's no matter what comes or goes in your life, what lumps and bumps or, you know, the angry waves of life beat upon you, you still know in the end of the story you win. It might look terrible, but you still win. That's great to know, isn't it? We know the end of the story. Like, we know the author of the book, and you could trust his novel here, known as the Bible. It's a true story. So anyway, let's see. They said, the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spake unto you. So Yeshua is definitely risen from the dead and become the first fruits unto God. You know, as you read the Gospels, you can easily see, they're all, first of all, there's four Gospels. That's four witnesses, which is great. And they're all independent accounts of the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of the Messiah, right? There's no collusion because they all did it separately at different times. All the Gospels are written at different times. There's no contradictions. All the Gospels blend in perfectly. And it's nice reading all the Gospels because they all, it's like painting a picture. They all add a little more. So if you do that, it's really nice. A lot of the Gospels, they have limited information. But you can put the whole story together if you read all the Gospels. Remember, when you read the Gospels and letters, make sure the way your reasoning is, which could be false, make sure you don't think any of the letters of the Gospel contradict the Torah or the Tanakh. Otherwise, you're reading Paul and John and James and everyone else. They are wrong. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're saying, oh, that sounds opposite. Or Paul made a new Gospel. Then you didn't read it right. So without a Torah mindset, you can't read the letters or the Gospels. So we always tell people, learn Torah first. This is after you accept the Messiah and the covenant and the blood and you repent and you start doing everything. You know, you have to do that first. Then you go start reading the Torah to make sure you got Paul right. Because, you know, you notice how everyone's got Paul wrong out there. Some people hate Paul or Saul or Shaul, however you want to say it. It's the same guy. But they got them all wrong because there's 50 gazillion churches out there and they all interpret Paul a different way, right? So, Yeshua even declares himself that he's alive. How's that? And you couldn't get any better witness than that. He says, I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. So he's alive. I love it. I think it's in the book of Isaiah. He doesn't need anyone to vouch for him. He goes, I lift up my own hand to heaven and say, I live forever. That is really powerful. You know, that's like, when I say it, I almost could picture, you know, some music behind me. Dun, dun, you know, dun, dun, some amazing power of God. You could take this for whatever it's worth. This below is a from a source outside Scripture. Okay, so some people say, well, only the Bible says Jesus is alive. Well, this is outside Scripture from this Jewish historian, Flavius Josephus, 37 AD to about 110 AD. In chapter 18, book 18, chapter 3, paragraph 3, we read, now there was about this time Yeshua, a wise man, if it's lawful to call him a man, he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Messiah. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men amongst us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared unto them alive again the third day. And as it says, as the divine prophets had foretold these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him, and the tribe of the Christians, so named from him, it is not extinct at this time. So this is a writing outside of the Bible that there was a Jesus and he did all this stuff. And there's other books I have actually mentioned Jesus in it, believe it or not, that have nothing to do with the Bible, which I went out of my way to try to find some books because some people go, well, you know, it only talks about Jesus in the Bible. That's not true. There's external books that have nothing to do with them. Anyway, let's see. Paul says, I have delivered unto you, first of all, that I read this already. This is what we have to read First Corinthians 15 later, because you have to know the scriptures that know Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures. Where does it say that right off the bat? Who can give me a scripture right off the bat? Isaiah 53, right off the bat. I mean, that's straightforward, but you have to know that. And if you don't know that right off the bat, then, you know, that means you better go do a little more studying. That he was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Where does it say that? How about Jonah? For the love of Messiah constrained us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So this is a very important thing that they all talked about in the letters and in the Gospels, that they make sure that he died for us. He was the sin offering, the guilt offering, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him, because he's alive. So, you know, we're going to read the book of Jonah maybe tomorrow, and it's about that whole thing is a picture of the resurrection of the Messiah, if you look at it with a spiritual eye. And if you go to Matthew, it says, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, Yeshua, we would see a sign from you. But Yeshua said unto them very simply, an evil and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign when you have the word of God, and there shall no sign be given it. Go read the sign of Jonas the prophet Jonas, right? There it is. For Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So you got to read Jonah to get the resurrection, right? The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, because, you know why? The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with that wicked generation at Yeshua's time and shall condemn it. You know why? They repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, greater than Jonas is here now. Just think the whole, remember that? They all repented. Yeah, in sackcloth and ashes. So you have to always watch and beware of the life you so-called live. Make sure you check for false data, false people, false doctrine, false situations, propaganda, misinformation, disinformation, forged documents, fabrications, misdirection. Simply put, lies. You might find yourself painted in the wrong picture. Anyway, remember all these things. Make sure you don't judge according to appearance. See, the Bible says we're supposed to judge all matters through the Word of God. We don't do any judging, but we use the Word of God to judge all matters. But you can't judge by appearance. You can't go, well, you know, that person out there today looks like they're just minding their business, enjoying the nice weather, and taking a little stroll with their daughter in the stroller. There's nothing wrong with that. Then you're equally as evil because you're judging according to appearance and you're not judging righteous judgment from God. God says it's evil. You're breaking the Sabbath. Guilty. So we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith, right? If you walk by appearance and sight, you'll be tricked and you become sweeter than God. You'll be allowing things or condoning things of the devil, and you become more kinder than God. And you let things, you know, go. You know, because especially when it comes to personal, your kids or your grandchildren or your wife or your husband or your aunt or uncle or whoever, your friends, I don't know. Before you know it, you can't discern righteous judgment because you're judging by appearance. So all these things in the Bible have to be looked at correctly, and we just thank God for the resurrection. So remember, these are the dates. Tomorrow is the first fruits, the resurrection. We're going to be here tomorrow, I think, at 12 o'clock, right? Just to read some Gospels and go over the resurrection a little bit and read Jonah maybe or, you know, whatever we want to do tomorrow. And we'll sing some songs, of course. And then, of course, Sunday night starts the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is another Sabbath. So basically you have from tonight, you see, tonight the Sabbath ends at about 7:24 or something like that. And then you have from tonight all day Sunday till this evening to, you know, do whatever, you know, whatever you need to get together. And then starts the Sabbath again, the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then, of course, after that, we start our seven-week journey to meet God again spiritually on Mount Sinai, and also a seven-week journey to get the Holy Spirit. It's like a spiritual walk, you know? So we start that counting the seven Sabbaths onward to Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, which is in the third month called Sivan. You got to know God's calendar, and that's way in the future, if Lord willing, if we're still here, June 8th. Seems so far away, doesn't it? But it's going to come. I already know it's going to happen. But anyway, just remember, we're going to be counting Sabbaths, not Omers. An Omer is a sheaf of barley. It's a dry measure, about 2 liters. We don't have any of those. Plus, we weren't told to count those, right? You're going to have... If you get in some of these pal talk rooms, especially in Judaism and other messianics, they're counting the Omer. Anyway, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Hope you got something out of my study today. And I thank God we could be here. So I'm going to say, may God bless everyone for the rest of the Sabbath. May God bless the food, the singing, anything we do. Let it be to the edifying of the body, to the glory of the living God. And may God impress upon us that a hunger and thirst for just the truth of everything, in everything we do. And may we live our lives as true believers of God and be lights of the world everywhere we go, in verb, in verbiage, in speaking, in action, in whatever we do, whatever we think. Let it be to the living God holy. And I thank God for the blood of the Messiah and for the Word of God and for the resurrection of our King. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. God bless you. I'm going to say goodbye to everyone in cyberspace. Shabbat Shalom. And that's the end of that. And then I'm going to